Greetings again this evening, in the very precious name of Jesus. There's a story to the effect that a certain society in South Africa once wrote to David Livingstone, asking this question: have you found a good road to where you are? If so, we want to know how to send other men to join you. Livingstone replied, if you have men who will come only if they know that there is a good road, I don't want them. I want men strong and courageous who will come if there is no road at all. Tonight I'd like to talk about the road not yet traveled. I'm thankful tonight for our youth, and I was going to tell you last night that I want you to be here, and I forgot about that because I was planning to share with the young folks tonight. Tonight there's young folks among us, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad for all the faithful young people that we have in our congregations, in our conference, across our churches. Young folks, you're an inspiration to us when you're faithful and when you're building your life on that foundation that Brother Luke talked about. Tonight, God has blessed you, has given you many opportunities, has allowed you to be born in Christian homes with Christian parents, has allowed you to have a church to attend, to sit under the sound of teaching. There's many things that are going for you tonight. And I'm jealous for you this evening. I'm so thankful that there are those of you who have made commitments and are serving the Lord in various ways. But tonight, the burden on my heart is, and I just want to give you encouragement tonight. This is probably more a message of just encouraging our youth than it is an evangelistic message maybe tonight. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what God is going to have me share and say throughout this message tonight. I'd like for you to open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4 for a beginning. Proverbs chapter 4, and I'd like to begin reading in verse 20. It says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. These are some wise words from the wisest man that ever lived. I believe tonight that they are words that are well for each one of us, not just young folks tonight, but there's a sense tonight in which the road before all of us is a road that is untraveled. Yes, some of us are older, and some of us have traveled most of the road that we will have to travel, most likely. Most of it's behind us. But tonight, as I think of youth and I think of young people, life is before you. The road is ahead of you. There's if time goes on normal and the Lord doesn't return, there's possibly many years that will unfold before you. And life is the time to serve the Lord, the Bible tells us. Life is the time to give our allegiance to God. I appreciate it so much, and I wanted to say that the choosing of the hymn tonight, the life that's more abundant, so rich, so full, so free. And it's if we give our all to God tonight, and we cast in our lot with Him, I believe that the experience that the songwriter was talking about, the fact that it's just going to get better. It's going to increase. That's when we give our hearts to God and we journey with Him. When we do not let our eyes get off the road, like he says here, look to the right or to the left, but look straight before thee. When we ponder our paths and let our ways be established in the things that God would have us establish our hearts in, turn not to the right hand nor to the left, and we remove our ways from the ways of evil, from Satan and his devices, and so on. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What are the issues of life? I'd like to consider what that means. What are the issues of life? I believe tonight, simply putting that in a nutshell, all of a sudden, it's the choices we make. Those are the issues of life. Young people tonight, your hearts are... There's a land of opportunity in front of you. Your hearts are open to make choices. And there's a lot of things. Our hearts, our feelings, our desires, our emotions. There's just a lot of things that are wrapped up in our hearts. And these things all affect the way we look at life, the way we feel about situations, the way we make choices. These things really dictate to a great extent how we live now and how we're going to live. We choose what our hearts like. In fact, the proverb writer talked about that. Just turn back a few pages in Proverbs to Proverbs 16 and verse 9. He says that a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps, if we're open to the Lord. In other words, what he is saying here is what I just said. Our desires and our feelings and our emotions and the things that we get involved dictate what our heart wants to do. But our life should be open to let God direct our steps. We have another verse that says something similar in chapter 19 and verse 21. I want you to notice this verse as well. It says, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. And so we have the warning tonight that there are many things that we can choose to do in life. I'm thankful that tonight on a Saturday night, that you have chosen to come to church and sit under the sound of the gospel. As I got out of my vehicle, I heard some music in a distance. I'm not sure what's going on, but it sounded like somebody was having a carnival or something somewhere not too far from here. And I suppose there's a whole other crowd of people. It looks way far different than this assembly here. And there's probably, I don't know, but there's probably young people in that assembly, in that crowd tonight, who have chosen that for their journey in life tonight. They are traveling that road. I'm so thankful tonight, young people, that you've chosen to be here. Today is the time to be sure that you are moving towards manhood and womanhood in the right way. Tonight, today, at this point in life, in the time that you're living in right now, whatever age you are in, decide your future now. Decide where you want to be. Think about time and the future and life and especially eternity, the end of it, when that comes. And in your heart, decide where you want to be now. And then start making choices that are going to take you to that end, that are going to lead you to that end. I believe tonight, we know that our hearts are desperately wicked. We know that our hearts have, like I said, we have the carnal nature to deal with and so on. And we know that that's a part of life's experiences. There's many temptations that come along with life. And so tonight what I want to tell you to do is you need to set boundaries to the desires of your heart, because your heart will take you to places that you don't want to be at. And so you must set boundaries. And tonight is the time when you start deciding what those boundaries are going to be. Because that determines the issues of life and the choices you make and the future that you will, where you will go. When I think back to the youth group that I grew up in a large setting. I don't know how many youth were in that setting at the time, but there was several hundred youth, not just in our congregation, but in our conference. And of course, I wasn't close with all those youth, but I learned to know many of those youth over the years. And when I stop and I ponder and I look back where many of those youth are today, I don't know what the percentage would be, but it's shocking to see where those people, where their choices, where their lives have led them, and where they are in life now. It's very, very shocking. There's a very large portion of them that are not in conservative churches, that are not living the Christian life as we know the Christian life, as we would desire to live the Christian life. And so I'm just telling you that tonight, that so that you stop and you ponder, because the choices you make will make the difference in the future. Decide your future now. Put boundaries to your desires. Those are the issues of life that you need to be concerned about, the choices that you make. The second thing I'd like to think about a while this evening is the potential that you have. Youth tonight, you have tremendous potential. You have tremendous potential for good, and you have tremendous potential for evil as well. And what I want to say about that is tonight there's two forces, let's just say it like this. There's God and Satan out there, and both of them know that you have potential, and both of them want your allegiance. Both of them want you to serve them. In fact, they're keenly competing for your life, for your hearts. Yes, God wants you to serve Him. God is calling. God is wanting you, your loyalty, and so is Satan. And you need to be aware of that tonight. Be aware of the potential for either good or evil that your life has. Believe it or not, I believe that the winner takes all. The winner takes all. If God gets your life, He's going to get all of it. He wants all of it. He needs to have all of it. You must be willing to give Him all of it. If Satan gets your life, he will get all of it. That's just how it works. You see, the Bible makes it plain. It tells us that no man can serve two masters. We will either love the one and hate the other, or serve the other, We just can't give allegiance to two masters. It just doesn't work. Satan brings his victims down to eternal ruin, while God brings those who follow Him to real life and eternal blessings and that abundant life that we talked about, and it's ever more increasing. You see the difference. It's this thought of starting two different paths, two different destinations, and focus at the end is what it's all about. Potential. There's a lot of potential in youth. I'm so thankful for the youth that are among us and the faithful youth that are giving their all to God and the work that you're doing and the potential that is there. There's energy, there's eagerness, there's zeal, there's so many things that, you know, as we get older, somehow some of that fades away. We don't quite have it, especially when we think about the energy and yes, even the zeal and the determination, somehow it seems like life has a way of just wearing us out, and we lose some of that. Young people have that. Young people are excited. I'm finding myself at the age where I don't have the energy I used to, and I still have some young folks living in my house, and you know, they want to go, they want to do things, they have energy, they have zeal, and it helps keep me young, I guess. It's good for me, I suppose. But thinking about potential yet, I'd like to take us to a little story that we find in the Gospel of John. John chapter 6. I'd like to read this story to you, and I'd like to point out what the potential is that you have tonight. You have, not only do you have potential, but God has given you resources, and God has given you gifts, and He wants those gifts. He wants the potential that is in your life, in your heart, and in you hold it right here in your hand, and you can do something about it. We have a story of another young lad that had potential. I'd like to read this story tonight and just draw some parallels from his life. John chapter 6, and we're going to begin reading in verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, When shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There's a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples, and the disciples to them that sat down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he saith unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remain over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they saw the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth the prophet that came, that should come into the world. We're going to cease reading there. Here was a lad who had a lot of potential, didn't he? We see that Jesus, his heart was touched with the multitude that was following him, and Jesus wanted to show more of himself. Jesus wanted to prove them. And Jesus used this lad. Now, I had to wonder. The Bible doesn't tell us, but I let my mind wander a little bit like I do in stories like this. Why was this lad in the crowd to begin with? I don't know what brought him here. Why was there a lad there that had these 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes? Was he maybe a lad that had left his home that morning and his mom had sent him out to find their needs for the day? I don't know, but I like to think about things like that. Did he somewhere along the line catch these 2 small fishes himself and was taking them home for their meal today? And had he got 5 barley loaves from somewhere in the community? I'm not sure. It doesn't really matter. But the point I want to make, this was a lad that was just living normal everyday life, I believe, just like you are tonight, youth, young people. There was nothing outstanding about this lad, may not have been outstanding, but for some reason, for whatever reason, this lad found himself in this crowd of people. And all of a sudden there was a need. And one of the disciples noticed that he had what he had in his presence right here. But the disciple even said, you know, what's that among so many? There's all these men and women here. It really doesn't amount to anything. My point is this. I don't believe that Jesus went to the lad and said, give me those 2 small fishes and the 5 loaves and demanded that, or that the disciples did that. But I believe they presented the need in a way that the lad had to make a choice what he was going to do, and apparently the lad chose to simply give the little contribution that he had. here it is, take it, use it. I don't know what you're going to do in my two small fishes and the five loaves of bread I have among all these people, but whatever. And look what happened. Tonight, youth, that is the potential that every one of you has. Every youth that is here tonight has that potential. But you need to make the choice, just like this lad did, to allow Jesus to take that potential tonight and use it for his kingdom interest. Will you do that? I plead with you tonight that you tonight will purpose in your heart that your future, that the issues of life, that the choices that you make, that you're going to lay yourself out before God tonight and say, here it is. You see, that takes a lot. This is the road that's untraveled. We don't know tonight, you don't know tonight, where God takes you. And Satan's going to tell you that's a dangerous thing to do, because you don't know where God may take you. God may take you where you never thought you'd go. I see Missy sitting back here tonight, and I think about Bangladesh when I see her. You don't know where God's going to take you. God takes young people many, many places. But that doesn't matter. God has promised that when you give your heart and your life to him, that he will increase it. He will do more with it than what you can imagine. That's what he done with the life of this young man. In fact, think about this young man and his experience that day. He left, and he thought back to that experience, I believe, many, many times. And what do you think? You think he felt blessed? You think that was an encouragement to him? The day that I had those two small fishes and the five loaves, and Jesus took them from me, and all those people were fed, they were filled, their needs were met. And I suppose he still had two small fishes and five loaves to take home. There was plenty left over. I suppose maybe he took four fishes and 10 loaves home. There was that much left over. The point is, we don't know all those details. The point is, I believe that he was blessed because he made the choice to allow the potential that he had to make the difference. And that's my plea for you tonight. As you look at the road that's not traveled yet, the road that's before you, the potential that's there, just give yourself to God and let God do what he wants to do with your life. Tonight, I know that there's for each one of you, the road will be different. There's different desires. There's different, and I believe tonight that it's well for us to get involved in things that we feel comfortable and that we like and that we enjoy. I say feel comfortable. No, God takes us to places sometimes where we don't feel comfortable. But my point is, there is work for each one of you, and that field can be in many, many different fields. The third thing I'd like to talk about tonight, as you think about the future, is accountability. God does require accountability. Let's go to Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes talks about this. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. I'd just like to look at two verses. The Ecclesiastes writer references young men here, youth. Chapter 11 and verse 9 says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment." Tonight, the Ecclesiastes writer is telling young people, young men, youth, to enjoy life. But right with that, he's warning you to be careful about how you enjoy life, because God is going to require accountability, is what he's saying. You will be accountable for the way you use life. I think God wants young people to enjoy life. I think God wants you to enjoy the things that you do. God wants to bless your life, but God wants you to use your time and your energies and your potential and the things the gifts that He has given you, He wants you to use them in a right, upbuilding way. A way that's going to help society, a way that's going to help the church, a way that's going to help your community, a way that's going to be an inspiration to the lives of others around you. Verse 10, he says, therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. What's he saying in verse 10? I believe that he's simply saying in verse 10, don't allow yourself to get involved in things in youth, in these years, these tender years that you are in now. Don't allow yourself to get involved in things that are going to bring shame and regret and sorrow and a reaping in the future, I think is what he's saying in those verses. Because you're going to look back at these years someday and realize that childhood and youth were vanity. If you do that, if you make good choices, you make right choices, and you give your heart to the Lord, someday you can look back on childhood and youth and those things and don't have regrets for it. You will be thankful for it, and it won't just have looked as though it was all vanity. That's my desire for you tonight, but I believe that's simply what he's saying. And so tonight it's important for you to realize that accountability is a part of growing up, a part of... You see, none of us will ever escape accountability. And actually, why should we want to? Just look around at society and look at the way people live who act like they don't believe there is any accountability. Look at all the trouble they have. Look at the difficulties their lives bring. Look at the struggles they have. Look at all the turmoil that life brings on in their miserable condition when they live as though there's not going to be accountability. There's so many things that make life just full of, just like he says here, sorrow. And it ends up being a bitter, terrible experience for them. The fact is, we cannot escape accountability. We will be accountable for our actions, for our motives, for our choices. The truth will be exposed sometime. And so tonight, I'd just like to encourage our young people, as you look at life and you make choices, put the potential where God wants it to be. And do not make choices today that bring sorrow to life. Number four, I'd like to talk about determination as well yet. The Christian life and life itself, life in general, takes determination, but especially the Christian life. I said there's two taskmasters out there that are two sources. God is looking for your allegiance. The devil wants you. The Apostle Paul referred to this. Let's go to Romans chapter 7 for just a little bit. The Apostle Paul talked about this struggle. I think it's well for us to stop and look at it. Because this is life. Romans chapter 7, and we'll begin reading in verse 14. I'd just like to read Paul's testimony. He says the Christian life is a struggle. Life is a struggle. It's what it is. Verse 14, Romans 7, 14. For we know that the law is spiritual. This is Paul speaking. But I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. Doesn't it sound like a terrible struggle or a warfare that... And can't we relate to it? I believe we can. Verse 16, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. I struggle, in other words, to do what I know I should be doing because I live in this fleshly body and the temptations of the flesh are ever present and ever with me, is what Paul's saying. Verse 19, for the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, my choices, my desire, in other words, my heart, those things we talked about, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And then he says this, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. God gives us a power to be victorious when we turn our hearts and our lives towards him and we cry out to him. You see, Paul was talking about this struggle that he finds himself in life. He wanted to do what God wanted him to do. He wanted to be in God's sight. But he had the struggle of the flesh. He had this sinful nature that was warring against him, and it was a continued battle. Sounds real, doesn't it? Sounds like life. We know what it's about. Well, the point I want to make tonight, young people, is this. We must have determination. We call it determination. Decide tonight that you're going to be in God's sight and don't give up. Keep on battling against the flesh and against evil and against the carnal things that want to drag you down. And tell Satan to get behind me and cry out to God. And God will give us victory. You see, Christ has made us new creatures through his tremendous sacrifice, through Jesus. He has put his Holy Spirit into our hearts to daily guide us, to be a comfort to us. That's what he wants. It is not his will, nor is it pleasing to him that we should give way to our flesh and to self and the things that self wants to bring our way. You see, tonight, self is our biggest enemy. Self is our biggest struggle. It's where the rubber meets the road, our will. Determine to die to self. Tonight, just determine that you're going to put self to death. You're not going to allow self to reign. You're going to crucify self and cry out to God. And God will help you. God will shape you for himself. Surrender yourself to God. And I like to say tonight, that takes a lot of determination. And when you put determination in place, one of the things that I believe that you can do, young people, to help overcome self, is to surround yourself with all the good that you can find. I mentioned already that you've been blessed to be a part of Christian homes. Surround yourself with your family. I started reading those verses in Proverbs there in chapter 4, and he set my son a tent. You have parents who care about you. Build relationships with your parents. Be open with your parents. Speak with your parents. Yes, the other evening I said that it's hard to build relationships with young people that don't want to build relationships. Do your part of allowing, opening your life and building those relationships. Surround yourself with church people, good friends. Choose friends that you know will help you build godly character and help build you up. And shun the friends that you know will tear you down and will take you the other way. No, don't ignore them. They need friends as well. And I know that's a hard road. It's hard to make those choices and to know how much you should be with people like that. It's a hard thing for parents to know when there's those settings and those kind of things, whose children they should allow you to be with and not to be with so much and so on. Those are hard decisions for us to make. But choose the good. Surround yourself with the good. Tonight I'm just going to put a little plug in for Bible school, if I may. It's a good place to go, I believe, to learn more about God's will for your life and to grow. Determine that you're going to go there and you're going to make the best of it and you're going to be a part of it and put yourself into learning all that you can and allowing God to use that experience to make you a better Christian, a better person. You see, we understand tonight that we have this old nature. Paul was talking about this old nature, and we know that this old nature is a very unspiritual nature, I'm going to call it. Somehow we have to turn that nature to a spiritual course. Part of that is being born again. We understand that. Being born again takes a moment of faith, but I'd like to say tonight that one of the reasons you need to have determination is that to become more Christ-like is a lifelong experience. May I say it that way? Being born again is a moment of faith, and it's something you can reach out to Jesus and acknowledge the need of Him, but you know, there's an ongoing work that needs to be in our lives, and there's many things, many areas that we can reach out to help us. Determination. Be determined to be what God wants you to be, young folks. Number five tonight, I'd like to talk about our emotions. Emotions play a big part of our experience. Emotions have tremendous influences in our lives as well. Proverbs 25 and verse 28 says this: "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." Tonight, a city that is broken down and is without walls is very vulnerable. Very much so. And a person who doesn't have rule over his own spirit is just like that. You see tonight, emotions are our feelings. And they are valuable, very valuable. They make life interesting. In fact, life would be rather dull without emotions. I'm thankful that God gave emotions to us. Emotions do affect our lives. They color our outlook. They tint our outlook in life. You see, tonight, when we do good and we make good choices, we feel good. Just like I mentioned about that little lad, I believe he looked back on that experience out of fondness. And it made him feel good, and it probably made him feel like being used again when the opportunity came. He probably looked for opportunities to be used. We feel good when we do well. When we don't do well, we know the opposite is true as well. We don't feel good about life. And life starts looking pretty dreary, looks pretty dismal, looks overbearing. You see, that's where individuals that end up going down a road where after a while they feel like taking their own life. It's what's the use of even living? It's a path that it's where it ends up at if it goes on unchecked. And so emotions are something that we need to bring into subjection. We need to rule over our emotions. We need to look at our emotions and our feelings and see why they're there and harness them and bring them into subjection with the will of God and the things that we know are right and proper as well. You see, the Christian wants his emotions to help him feel, and yet we dare not let our feelings be our master. May I say it that way? Don't let your emotions be your master. Emotions are unpredictable. Emotions are not a fair evaluation many times about life. You see, that young man that had those two small fishes and those five barley loaves, if he would have allowed his common sense and his feelings, his emotions, he would have said, well, it'll never work. What do you want with him? And it would have quit there. That's too many times how our feelings get involved in things and they color our outlook. And so learn to harness your emotions. Look at the facts and realize that God can take and multiply the two small fishes and the five loaves, whatever that is, whatever potential you have, he can take that and he can do that and work the emotions out with that in mind as well. Sixthly, I'd like to think a little bit about courage tonight. Psalm 27 and verse 14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You know, reaching out and deciding to travel the road that's not yet traveled takes courage. It takes courage for young people to go to Bible school the first time, right? It takes courage for young people to step out into that schoolroom for the first time of committing yourself to taking up the work of teaching school. It takes courage to get involved in the work of the Lord. And here again, I want to say tonight, there's different likes and dislikes, there's different gifts, there's different abilities. For every one of you, it may be different. But I believe tonight, young people, one of the ways to grow and find out what God wants for you is just to open your life up and go and serve somewhere. There's always a need for school teachers. Don't throw that idea away real far. There's always need for workers in the mission field. One of the things that I told my young folks at home as they were growing up is I encouraged them to get involved in kingdom interests, kingdom work. Spend some time going, doing something. Give a few years of your late teenage years, early 20s, whatever, some period of time in there. Give a few years to the church in some way, form or another. Well, you know what? God took me as a father to some pretty great length in that. I think my children all ended up teaching school or being somewhere. But what I want to say is their interests weren't all the same. Some of them didn't feel like they were school teachers. I had a son who decided that he's not a school teacher, and he went to Faith Missions for several years and worked with the boys there at Faith Missions and has fond memories of that. Today he's married and has a family of his own, and he still talks about those years there and the blessing that it was to him being there and working with those young men and their needs there. And we have Shepherd's Fold and just many, many areas. Give some time, young folks, to these areas. It's going to help you. Yes, it takes courage to step out and do those things, but it will be a blessing to you. It will be a growing experience to you. You see, the fact is, making a contribution to any cause always takes courage. And so take courage. Be faithful. Take up the work. Be an asset to God's work and to the lives of those around you. Be an asset to your parents. Be an asset to your home that you grew up in. Be an asset to the church. Be an asset to the kingdom of God in whatever way you can. It takes courage to do that. It takes courage to fight the good fight of faith. But take courage tonight, young people, and stand for truth. Make your life a contribution for God. God, make your presence in the kingdom of heaven with God. Be a contribution to him for eternity. That's what God wants. It starts now with the choices that you make tonight. I believe tonight, young people, that life is before you. Yes, it is a road that's not been traveled. It's a road that you don't know where God is going to take you. But I believe, just like that young lad, when you open up your life and you give it to God, God will be in the journey with you. God has an expected end for you. God has a desire for your life. You have the potential. Give it to God and allow God to take it and do what He will with it.